Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. We are loaded. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1 live in Los Angeles 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. A wild card weekend with all sorts of surprises. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you today?
I'm great. Those games lived up to the hype. It was a great first weekend.
It was. Colin right, Colin wrong in 1 hour. Let me start with this. Mike McCarthy is the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jay Glazer joins us in about 12 minutes. He broke the story. What's new? He breaks big stories. So Mike McCarthy, who would not have been my first choice, this was a year when there was an amazing candidates. Urban Meyer, the Whiz Kids, Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule, Josh McDaniels, Ron Rivera had been to a Super Bowl, and this feels like sort of Mike McCarthy, a really safe hire. Mike McCarthy fits Cleveland because they need his maturity and they need his stability and they need his guidance. That's not what Dallas needs. Dallas needs McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt Nagy. They need clever. They've got talent. They don't need stability. They're plenty stable. Dak provides the stability. They don't need necessarily guidance. They've won two divisions last 4 years. They don't need necessarily a grown-up in the room. Jason Garrett is a grown-up, sometimes too much of a grown-up. You know, he's clapping like the Little League dad after every strikeout. That's not what Dallas needs. Dallas needs some pow, some progressive, some clever, some really smart, some new, some fresh. That's not 56-year-old Mike McCarthy. You know, it's funny. Jerry Jones, one of his famous sayings is, he's never happy when he settles. Overpay, take a risk. Jerry Jones says, I'm never satisfied when I try to save money. Or when I settle, I always end up with a product I don't love. When I go for it, when I take a risk, when I overpay, that's when I have something that everybody else wants. Is Mike McCarthy really something everybody else wants? This feels like settling for a head coach. That's what it feels like. When I said Mike McCarthy, first thing you thought was that's safe. And by the way, you can be a good coach and not a great fit. I don't think he's a great fit. Let me throw this at you. Mike McCarthy has never in 13 years as a head coach been top 10 in rushing attempts. What are the Cowboys? A run-blocking O-line and Zeke. That's not in his DNA. Every coach has a DNA. Gruden loves power running. Kyle Shanahan and his dad, Mike Shanahan, love to run the football. Pete Carroll, USC in Seattle, build a running game. It doesn't matter. Pete Carroll teams are physical. That's his DNA. Sean Payton tends to be clever. Spread it out. Andy Reid develops quarterbacks and wide receivers. Every coach has a DNA. Mike McCarthy's DNA isn't developing a great running game. In the last 3 years, I'm going to read you this stat. In the last 3 years in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy was 29th, 25th, and last in rushing percentage. That was with above-average offensive lines and Aaron Rodgers being injured. It's not in his DNA. He doesn't build running games. 13 years in Green Bay, he didn't do it. And I think he's a good coach, but Jerry Jones has made an empire on taking risk. When he bought the Dallas Cowboys, he didn't have the cash for it. He put that thing on a credit card and had to scramble for 4 years. When he built the stadium, I mean, when he built his practice facility, when he hired Jimmy Johnson and fired Tom Landry, he's an oil maverick. If you look at Jerry Jones' entire career, it is taking big risks. All these young progressive candidates, he interviewed two guys, Marvin Lewis and Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy stayed the night at his house. Jerry made pancakes in the morning or something. I mean, it just doesn't feel like in a year with a bunch of very clever candidates. I mean, there's a lot of really clever candidates out there. Your Urban Meyer, your Lincoln Riley, your Matt Rhule, your Josh McDaniels. I just don't think the DNA matches here. I don't think it matches. Now, again, he's safe. He's an adult. But that was Jason Garrett. Wasn't that the knock on Jason Garrett? He's safe. He's an adult. There's never chaos with Jason Garrett. He's safe. You know, you know that you have a grown-up in the room. You know the players like him. Not a lot of controversy. Between Dak and Jason Garrett, I got all the maturity I need. What I need is some sizzle, some risk, some push the envelope. Josh McDaniels, Urban Meyer, give me a little swag. Give me a little attitude. Give me a little, I don't know. I don't see it. Don't like it. I don't think it's a disaster. I just think it's more of what I've seen. And if you're going to pay Dak Prescott $35 million, you got to stretch that quarterback dollar. Like Matt Nagy is with Trubisky. You got to stretch that dollar. You got to get every penny out of $35 million because Dak's not really a $35 million quarterback talent. Not Russell Wilson. He's not Carson Wentz. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. You know, is he Jimmy Garoppolo? They paid Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco $28 million, which is way less than Dak will get. And what was the first thing they did? They got a right tackle. Then they got a tight end. Then they get Emmanuel Sanders. They know that if you pay the quarterback that kind of money, you got to get him assistance. Well, Dallas doesn't have a lot of room once they pay Dak. They're not going to be able to afford much. So you have to get that assistance from the coaching because you can't with your offensive line and Amari and Zeke, there's no money left to elevate Dak. Like your money, you are at the cap. So now you got to get the clever and the elevation from the coach. And I don't think Mike McCarthy's a bad coach. I think he's a fine coach. But for the record, Green Bay now is 13-3 without him. You know, I always say, don't judge a coach just by what he does when he arrives. What happens to the place when he leaves? When Harbaugh left San Francisco, man overboard. You know, I mean, you go look at places. I'm nothing against Mike McCarthy, but he left Green Bay. They look happier and they're hosting playoff games. Just saying. All right, let me shift to this. I'll have more on Mike McCarthy with Jay Glazer coming up. Major scoopage today, Mike McCarthy coach. Glazer broke the story. So I watched New England all year, and we kept saying is, listen, just that nobody can get open. I watched Minnesota, Adam Thielen's open. I watched Seattle, DK Metcalf's open. I watch the Saints and Michael Thomas can be open. And I watch Kansas City and Tyreek Hill can be open. And I watch Baltimore and all their receivers are open. And I watch Houston and D-Hop is open. And I watch the New England Patriots and nobody's open. There's nobody open. They don't have a tight end. It's rookie wide receivers and Julian Edelman, who's a bag of wrenches right now. The guy's all banged up. But let me just say this. Look around the NFL right now. You know I love Brady. Look around the NFL right now. Tom Brady is 42, not very athletic. They are playing in New England at a quarterback athletic deficit. And Bill Belichick has made a career on being proactive, not reactive. Everybody keeps telling me Brady's going to leave. And everybody keeps telling me Josh McDaniels is going to leave. Are we sure Belichick wants to stick around? Belichick wanted to move off Brady 2 years ago and was told by the owner he couldn't. And I saw a story today where Robert Kraft says he's praying that Tom Brady resigns. What do we know about Belichick? Belichick is always ahead of the curve. And he watches Mahomes, and he watches Josh Allen, and he watches Lamar, and he watches Deshaun Watson, and he watches Garoppolo, and he watches all these guys do cool things. And he's got Brady, who I love, but he's 42 and doesn't make plays once it breaks down, and he looks a little older. We all got Josh McDaniels leaving, and we all have Brady leaving. Has anybody thought about Bill Belichick saying, maybe it's my time? Giants don't have a coach yet. He's got history there. He didn't want to coach for the Jets. I think he coached for the Giants and the Mara family. Great respect there. But you know, it's funny. We know that if Tom Brady was on the market, you know, 75% of the teams wouldn't go after him. And we know if Josh McDaniels was on the market, 70% of the teams wouldn't go after him. If Bill Belichick's on the market, how many teams wouldn't go after him? Four? I mean, maybe. So, you know, I look at this situation, and I don't think Belichick, the GM, has always helped Brady, the quarterback, right? Belichick's a great coach. I don't think it's a general manager. They've drafted particularly well. One Pro Bowler at tight end, wide receiver, and running back in his reign. Gronk, that's it. So I'm not saying Belichick's not without blame here, but you look around at the trend of the NFL, and it's between the collective bargaining, which means offensive linemen don't practice as much, and the college game going to spread offenses. Offensive lines aren't very good in this league. It is not an either-or. You got to have a quarterback that moves. Brady doesn't, and Belichick's always been at the head of the curve his entire career. Now he's kind of reacting to everybody else. So I keep hearing about everybody leaving New England. If Bob Kraft forces him to re-sign a 42-year-old, about to be 43-year-old Tom Brady, are we sure Belichick's sticking around? I mean, we know Belichick has left before. You know, he was a Jets coach for an hour and said no thank you. I think Belichick may have a little bit more leverage than everybody thinks here. Tom Brady, for the record, was asked about his future after the game.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, you know, they got it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's, you know, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me.
Is there any possibility that you would retire after this last season?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but, yeah, hopefully unlikely.
For the record, Giselle will have a say in where they go. She has sacrificed for the family. Chargers, Miami would be the first places. Indianapolis, she's probably, as a supermodel, not willing to move the family there. That's just speculation, but from somebody I trust, I got that over the weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to Jay Glazer, who broke the story, Fox Sports NFL Insider, via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys, he was the first to have it. What's new? All right, so let me just ask this. Was from the very beginning, Jay, is this the guy they targeted, you know, a week or two ago?
Yeah, they wanted NFL head coaching experience. And I know a lot of people out there, they thought they'd go after like a Lincoln Riley, and that wasn't the case. They didn't want somebody with college experience. They wanted somebody who was an NFL head coach. And at first they wanted defense, but the more they did research on Mike McCarthy, the more they really started to fall in love with the grunt that is Mike McCarthy. He is a football guy. And when they met with him and interviewed him, and then they looked at it and said, there's such a difference between him and Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, obviously Princeton kind of guy. And Mike McCarthy is just a Pittsburgh guy, worked in the toll booth. He's a grunt. And, you know, the way he went in there and explained how he would run their offense, run their team. And that team needs a lot of discipline also. They just fell in love with him throughout the night. And again, I reported yesterday on our Fox NFL Sunday playoff show that he was still in Dallas. The interview was only supposed to last the first day, but it went so well, they ended up keeping him overnight.
Jay, are there any concessions he had to make with the current staff? Does he have none? So he didn't
Zero. And at first, the Cowboys, I think, were looking at it like, we love our offensive coaches. We'd love to do that. But again, there when they talked to Mike and they all talked through it, I think they realized, you know what? We've done this in the past. We've tried to push certain coaches on others. We can't do this time, and they pulled off. I do think he likes Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore will be there. Mike Nolan, who's the linebacker coach for the Saints. Mike Nolan hired Mike McCarthy as his offensive coordinator, when Mike Nolan was the head coach of the 49ers. And I think you'll see Mike McCarthy here return the favor and bring Mike Nolan in to help run that defense. Look, all the pieces are in place. They just, you know, they need some ball coaches who can kind of ratchet up the discipline there and use those pieces a little bit better.
Let me push back on this. He never in 13 years had a top 10 rushing attempts offense, and I do think Zeke is a wildly talented, important person. I think, Jay, you and I have talked about this. Coaches have DNA. Pete Carroll's defense and pound the ball. The Shanahan family, zone read offense. Andy Reid loves developing quarterbacks and wide receivers. Mike doesn't. Even when Aaron was hurt, he's not been great at developing rushing games. He gets out of rushing very quickly. Is that a concern?
No. One of the things he walked in there, he's like, he hasn't really had a guy like Zeke Elliott before. So, you know, Mike, look, when you're a Brett Favre, we have Joe Montana, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers, your quarterbacks, you're going to kind of go pass happy. But he's never really had a guy like Zeke. So No, that's one of the things that they discussed also. He loves Dak. He's excited to work with Dak, but he hasn't had a Zeke Elliott type of guy. No, they're gonna feed him like crazy.
Okay, I don't mean to get greedy and you break all the stories, but since you broke this one, let me ask you about two other ones. McCarthy was obviously the apple of Cleveland's eye, and I think he would have been a perfect fit for Cleveland. Okay, so now Browns, is there a leap?
I think the Giants were actually more – we're going to make a stronger push than Cleveland. I think Cleveland, yeah, and he went in there and they talked about head coaching candidates also, but the Giants even called back to get a second interview with Mike, and obviously he couldn't do that.
Okay, so do you have any give me your gut feeling on the Giants, which I think, by the way, is an excellent job. I think Daniel Jones on a rookie quarterback deal for 3 years. I think they have some nice pieces. They have two great defensive linemen under 25, Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams. Giants, where are they going?
So all along, I think they've wanted Matt Rhule, and Matt Rhule's kind of dreamed about going to the Giants. But Matt Rhule already's making – $80 million over 10 years or something, ridiculous like that. And good for him, by the way. So it's going to take an awful lot to get Matt Rhule up there. Matt Rhule was there for a year, and I think Giants are usually comfortable with somebody who they've already known. But they're in a different situation also than the Browns. Browns, when you go in an interview, they have a list of about 10 general managers that they could hire with the head coach. With the Giants, that's not the case. It's Dave Gettleman. And Dave Gettleman's got to kind of come up with the times. So you got to have a head coach who's saying, okay, this guy needs to come up with the times Dave Gettleman's a very old school guy that needs to kind of get a little bit more new school.
All right, Jay Glazer, great stuff. Broke the story on Mike McCarthy. He's the new coach of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get ready for that. Jay, thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Sometimes we disrespect somebody so much, we don't even know we're doing it. This is Russell Wilson. So just give me a minute here. So all weekend long, because DK Metcalf, the rookie who dropped in the draft, made a couple of big catches. And you don't even realize how disrespectful to Russell Wilson you're being if you're in the American media. One show puts our arms around Russell Wilson, ours. Everybody else, they just think about this. All weekend long, this is what I heard about the Seahawks win and DK Metcalf. Look at all those general managers that whiffed on DK Metcalf. Those dumb general managers. No, they whiffed on him, though many of those GMs are elite. And he works because he has Russell Wilson and because everybody works with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's now 8-1 on the road this year. Aaron Rodgers is 500 in his career on the road. Russell Wilson's won 17 of his 21 last road games in the Eastern time zone. This year on the road, 13 TDs, 70% completion, 170 passer rating. Everybody works with him. This is not about general managers whiffing on DK Metcalf. He dropped in the draft because he's a bodybuilder who runs terrible routes. That's why he dropped in the draft. But Pete Carroll and John Snyder figured out, hell, everybody works with Russell. Doug Baldwin was undrafted, became a Pro Bowler. Lockett was a gadget guy nobody wanted out of Kansas State. He looks like a Pro Bowler. I mean, the Patriots are dying for tight end production. They let go of Jacob Hollister. Seattle pick him up. He works with Russell Wilson. I told you this. Will Dissly was a defensive lineman at the University of Washington. He moved over to tight end. He had 4 catches his junior year in college. He goes to Seattle and the Seahawks, and suddenly Will Dissly is outstanding. Not really. It's Russell Wilson. You just don't understand. He was missing 2 offensive linemen this weekend, a Pro Bowl left tackle. He's missing 3 running backs. They pull Marshawn Lynch off the street. They got some kid from Miami, Homer, who's like a 6th-round guy. They go to Philadelphia. Their offensive line's getting worked by the defensive line of the Eagles, and Russell Wilson wins and averages 10 yards a pass and is 8-for-15 on third down. Do you get it? This DK Metcalf story is not about him. It's about Russell. Tom Brady can't work with anybody. I mean, all these rookies come in. He's yelling at him. He's screaming at him. And Russell Wilson, Will Dissly, Jacob Hollister, DK Metcalf, Doug Baldwin, Lockett. These guys weren't elite. They're either undrafted, not used, traded by somebody else for a six-round pick, and they all work. There's a common thread with all of Seattle's receivers, tight ends, and backs. They're all great with Russell Wilson. He had no running game this weekend. 17 carries for 19 yards on the road. That was his running game. A yard a carry, and yet they win. The top GMs didn't whiff on DK Metcalf. He runs bad routes, but the best, prettiest deep ball that's ever been thrown in this league is thrown by Russell Wilson.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Joey, without further ado, we make a lot of predictions on the show. We've got, you know, you got to have predictions. You got to tell people what you think. Sometimes I get them right. Sometimes I get them wrong. So on Mondays, it's Colin right, Colin wrong, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Deshaun Watson, once again, saves the Texans, sacked seven times, 20 of 25, with an offensive line that bailed on him and 121 quarterback rating. The offensive line wasn't there for him. Once again, Bill O'Brien's game plan was awful in the first half. But he makes the play of the year from a quarterback perspective, keeps him alive. I said this when he got drafted below Mitch Trubisky. I don't think he's a beautiful, natural thrower of the football like Mahomes or Wentz. I don't. But I don't understand what everybody doesn't see. In the biggest games against Alabama, he was money. In some of his biggest games, he really has overcome what appears to be an organization in Houston which doesn't practice at times. Why are they so bad in the first half? It's just, it always feels like he's playing from behind. And not like 3-0, like 16-0. But he does it again.
Where Colin was wrong.
One of the reasons the NFL's so mesmerizing, I went 0-4. I like Philadelphia. I like Buffalo. I like the Patriots. And I like the Saints. I was wrong on all of them. Thank God I didn't bet them. This is why the NFL is mesmerizing. You always kind of feel like you know who the better team is in a lot of other sports, but this is not the NBA or hockey where it's a seven-game series. You have a good half, you can walk into the Superdome and pick off an upset over New Orleans.
Where Colin was right.
How did the Eagles look once Carson Wentz got hurt? Oh, that's funny. Not very good on third down. And Josh McCown, by the way, is a legit backup. He's a big boy athlete. He really is, and he's a smart guy. I thought this was a cheap shot by Clowney. I thought it should have been a penalty. I thought in college you get ejected for that. So don't blame Carson Wentz. You know, I don't want to hear about that he gets hurt. That's just that was a cheap shot. And it should have been a penalty, and it should have been, you know, that's the kind of stuff in college. You're out of the game. But what did this team do when Carson Wentz got hurt? He carried him. Four straight games, over 400 yards. The minute he got hurt, they couldn't make a play. And that game was there for the taking. Seattle's running game was nondescript, and Seattle's offensive line was missing two really good starters. But Wentz, for the record, got this team to the playoffs, and Nick Foles didn't win a game this year.
Where Colin was wrong.
Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy. That's not who I would have hired. I thought their whole search was confounding. Jeff Fisher rumors, Marvin Lewis, Mike McCarthy. Isn't this whole thing about elevating Dak? Isn't that like why the Packers moved to Matt LaFleur? And I mean, wasn't that why Sean McVay got hired by the Rams to save the Jared Goff signing? Like, to me, the whole situation here is you're going to pay Dak $35 million. It's a quarterback league. I also don't think he's ever developed running games. In 13 years, he's never had a top 10 rushing attempt offense. I think he's an odd fit. I don't think he's a bad coach, but I mean, you didn't even interview Ron Rivera. He got to a Super Bowl, too. Ron Rivera likes running games and is a great defensive coach. What do the Cowboys need? To be more focused on running the football and to coach up their defense. Ron Rivera didn't even get an interview. He got hired in your own division. Like, it's a confounding move to me.
Where Colin was right.
John Dorsey, Cleveland Brown general manager, fired. We said it would never last. You all worshipped him in Cleveland. Oh my God, he's got a great eye for personnel. Okay, that's like one part of the job. You also have to be able to hire coaches and be conciliatory and get along with people and make sure your scouting department works with your coaching staff. You know, he hired Freddie Kitchens because he could control him. He got very controlling in Kansas City, and they moved on from him. We all year long, we kept saying, it's easy to blame Kitchens, and it's easy to blame Baker Mayfield. But the guy who made the hire with both, Baker was a reach, and so was Freddie, was John Dorsey. He's not a bad guy, but this was Cleveland fanboys. The media, it's just did brilliant. And I'm like, I kept saying over and over, his personality with this ownership is not going to last, and he's gone.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Kirk Cousins is still only 7-30 in games against teams that have winning records by the end of the year, but he made two huge plays. The throw to Adam Thielen, unbelievable. Very good late, very good in overtime. The Thielen throw is probably the throw of his career. I mean, that's a pillow right there. And then Kyle Rudolph in the corner. I mean, this is a perfect throw. That's not pass interference, by the way. It's called trying to get a rebound in the NBA. You could call a foul on it every time. I've been harsh on Kirk Cousins, and he shrinks in big spots. But you know what? Against Dallas, big national TV game, he was good. And he was good here, and he was good in overtime against Breeze in the Superdome. That's about as big a spot as you can have as a visiting quarterback in the NFL, and he deserves credit.
Where Colin was right.
We've been preaching this all year. Mobility as a quarterback is not an either-or. You got to have it. College football's gone to the spread, so you're not getting road greater offensive linemen, and the offensive line due to the new CBA, O-lines in the NFL, there's never been more lousy ones. You saw this weekend, Josh Allen led his team in rushing, Russell Wilson led his team in rushing, Taysom Hill led his team in rushing, Deshaun Watson led his team in rushing. What are the Seahawks, to be honest, without Russell Wilson's mobility? I mean, what is the offense? This is the new NFL. And the bottom level running is Daniel Jones of the Giants. You've got to be able to move. Offensive line plays deteriorating. You know, you don't have to be as good a runner as Lamar or even Josh Allen. But the old pocket guy, it's a liability unless you have a great young offensive line like the Colts. You under contract for years, you got to find a guy who can move.
Where Colin was wrong.
I always thought J.J. Watt was a nice guy and a good player, but I never really bought into his effect. I would never play him $20 million. Many of his great games as a pro, the Texans lost, but I thought he was huge in this game. I thought he had a huge sack in the second half that created momentum. I also thought he had a ball that he kind of batted down there and forced Josh Allen and the Bills into a rushing, punting situation. I thought J.J. Watt really, and it's kind of remarkable he played. When you hear his injuries, the fact that this guy got out there and played, tip of the cap. But I thought he played a huge role in this game. This is a very inconsistent Texans defense, and it's not a very good secondary at times. But J.J. Watt, his presence, you know, we use that word a lot on the show. You got to have a presence as a coach. He also had a presence in that football game, and I've never given him kind of the credit for that in big games.
Where Colin was right.
Kyrie Irving, surgery. Folks, if you take out the three LeBron years, he's a bust. The Boston Celtics are now a number two seed without him, and the Nets have a better winning record when he doesn't play. Before LeBron, he was a head case who couldn't get along with anybody or stay healthy. And after LeBron, he's a head case who can't stay healthy and get along with anybody. And KD chose this instead of Steph Curry, the most stable, genuine, authentic guy in the league. Kyrie Irving, they've already got doubts in Brooklyn. He has missed 23 of 34 games. He is brittle. He's obviously a gifted offensive player, but you got to play with people. You know what I mean? It's like Oklahoma City and Westbrook. He left. They got all these kids. Oklahoma City's got the same basic record. I've never bought into Kyrie Irving. I think he's a talent. I don't think he makes teammates better. I think he's hard to coach. And I think he's a little bit of a head case and a bust.
Where Colin was right.
We always say don't overreact to September football. Defenses will win the day. Did you notice this weekend no team scored more than 20 points in regulation? That if you look at the wild card round, more than a touchdown off the board, 25 yards, passer ratings go down. You got to have defenses. That's why Seattle and Minnesota are playing in the next round. It's J.J. Watt. The defense finally arrived for Houston, and they won the game. Think about this. Minnesota shut down the Saints. New England, Tennessee had 3.5 hours of arm wrestling. Texans didn't score until the third quarter. Seattle couldn't score forever. They all win. September's fun. The weather's perfect. You're experimenting. Get to December and January. Running games and defense. This is why the league keeps tweaking the rules to help the offense. Because at the end of every football season, who's left? Baltimore's defense, Kansas City's defense has gotten better, San Francisco, Minnesota, Seattle, and an upgraded Green Bay defense. That's who's left. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go. 14 years in the NFL, Super Bowl champ, Pro Bowler, and my friend, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, the Coward Global Satellite Network, Trent Dilfer. All right, I kind of feel Mike McCarthy, I got questions. He doesn't develop great running games. They have Zeke. He kind, you know, Jerry Jones always says, whenever I go safe, I'm disappointed. It feels kind of safe to me. I liked Ron Rivera, who would elevate this defense and does running games well. What do you make of the Mike McCarthy hire?
I think it's safe. I think you nailed it. It's a very safe, seasoned, wise head coaching hire. My concerns are similar to yours. It's the running development of a modern day running game, which is very unique. It's changed a lot with the Saturday influences. But they have spent this year as a staff kind of studying trends and doing analytics and doing a lot of deep dives into to new schemes. So I'm sure they'll be caught up to speed there. But the one that nobody's talking about is who is he going to hire as his defensive coordinator? And this is the key to Mike McCarthy's success in Dallas, because if you look at the Cowboys' defensive roster, it's young, it's athletic, but it's a little light in the shorts, and it's very scheme-specific to Chris Richard and Rod Marinelli's scheme. They are one gap penetrating defense with certain coverage profiles behind it. They're not plug and play with any defensive system. So this defensive hire has to be somebody that could maximize this talent that's on the defensive side of the ball existing for the Dallas Cowboys. If they mess this one up, if they hire a two gap guy, if they hire somebody that doesn't, his system, his philosophy doesn't fit the personnel they have, this can be a disaster.
By the way, it's not good news for Baker Mayfield, because I think what McCarthy brought to Cleveland, maturity and stability, Dallas doesn't need that. Dak's plenty mature and stable. I don't worry about maturity there. In Cleveland, this is a young, outspoken, verbal roster. In Joku, Jarvis Landry, Baker, they've all got opinions. What do you do with Baker now? What's up with this Mike McCarthy move to Dallas doesn't help him any.
Well, it helps them if they're wise and they get Jason Garrett in the door today. Think about how Dak developed that wisdom, that discernment, that maturity beyond his years. Think about Zeke Elliott, who had some baggage coming in, but has become a seasoned pro. I mean, Jason Garrett takes a lot of heat for what happened to the Cowboys, and it is probably time for that separation to happen. But Jason Garrett's a heck of a football coach, and he's a heck of a team builder. And that's what Cleveland needs. They need that wise, stable, team-building man to come in and run that organization. I think Jason Garrett is a plug-and-play head coaching hire in Cleveland if he wants to take on that type of challenge, because that will be a massive challenge.
I have not bought into the Vikings all year. I love their roster, but I think there's limitations and a ceiling. I was shocked. Kirk Cousins, I thought, made the throw of his life. You were more into the Vikings. You've seen something. Can they win in San Francisco? What did you make of the win in the Superdome?
They can. I don't want it to be. Listen, I agree with you. I don't think their ceiling is massively high. I believe in how they built the team for this time of year. I remember Tom Jackson saying it for years on primetime. You know, the teams that are built the right way for playoff football. And it changed a little bit with the modern day quarterback and the spread offenses and the rule changes. But still, you have to have a certain profile to go on the road in the playoffs and win. And that's what Zimmer has always built there. And they, you could see it early in the season. They play really good defense. It's not elite, but it's really good. But what they do is they cut the head off the snake defensively. They always take away what you do best, especially if it's quarterback play. He's one of the hardest guys to play against as a quarterback. He makes you eat your soup left-handed. It's just very, very difficult to do. The other thing they do is they run the ball and they run action. That's what travels well. You're not drop back passing, reading boundary to boundary the entire playoffs. A lot of it's run action, turn your back, get chunk throws. That's how they've built this offense. So I just like how they're built. I like that they exercise some of their demons this season. I was not surprised by the win in New Orleans, nor would I be surprised if they can go to San Francisco and do a similar thing, even though I think the 49ers have a much higher ceiling and are probably a better football team overall.
Let's talk about New England, because I remember you telling me one time when you retired, you said, you know, you just got tired of waking up on Monday and stuff hurt. you know, and you can deal with that if you've got a good offensive line, but you start looking at Brady and McDaniels could leave. The young receivers haven't worked. They haven't addressed the tight end. They've got several offensive needs. You can't solve them all in a draft, because nobody's giving up their good offensive linemen in this league anymore. They're keeping them and re-signing them. Give me your gut feeling on this Josh McDaniels, Brady, even Belichick, what happens in the next several months.
I've been wrestling with this one, Colin. I think I'm too emotionally attached to have a good opinion, because I will be devastated if it's not Tom Brady and the Patriots together. Like, it just doesn't work for my brain to see Tom Brady play somewhere else, to see this thing break up. Now, the realist in me says if Tom Brady stays in New England, that it's the two of them, three of them, Bill, Kraft, and Tom, sit in the room and say, okay, let's take one final ride together. Because if Bill wants to do this for another 10 years, I could see why you would move on without Tom Brady and get the next guy and go young and redo this thing. If he only has a couple more years in him, then why not ride into the sunset with your guy, Tom Brady? That's how I hope it unfolds. I know that's not great analysis, and that's why I prefaced it with, I think I'm too emotionally attached. I just can't see an NFL right now without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick being together. Whether you love them or hate them, they are the NFL at its essence for the last, 18 years. I mean, it's just, I can't see it any other way.
By the way, yesterday I was banging on, you know, everybody on Twitter's like, how could all these dumb GMs pass on DK Metcalf? And my takeaway is, listen, he's a bodybuilder that runs bad routes. Those GMs aren't dumb. Russell Wilson just makes it work because he makes everything work. Break down. Metcalf had a game yesterday, and suddenly everybody's like, he's a superstar. And I watch him and I say, no, he's a freak, and Russell Wilson delivers pillows down the field. I mean, what do you see with him?
100% agree with you. First of all, the evaluators are not dumb. They had him right where he needed to be. He's a big, strong, run fast, jump high guy right now, this part of his career. Now, he can develop and become a great route runner and a great receiver, and I wouldn't put it past him to do so. But what you evaluated was just a physical freak that was a linear speed guy that was going to run down and win 50-50 balls, but not be a craftsman. But I think what you're saying is so true, that the ultimate gift that the great quarterbacks have, like, let's just, the NFL is doing this top 100 thing. Let's take the 10 greatest of all time. More than their talent is their ability to make everybody better. That is the job of the great quarterback, is you make the building better. You make the linemen better. You make the receivers better. You make the coaches better. You make the secretaries better. You make the equipment guys better. The whole organization is better because of your greatness and how you approach your job. That's what Russell Wilson does. We see it happen with DK Metcalf yesterday, but we see it with running backs. We see it with offensive linemen. We see it with defensive personnel turnover. We see it with coaching staff turnover. Like, Russell Wilson has that magic touch that whatever he touches is going to be better, and that's the essence of his greatness. Saying DK Metcalf's going to be the reason they go to the Super Bowl, yeah, he's a big play threat. But the best player, in my opinion, in the entire league is Russell Wilson.
Yeah. How about that? How about that, Joy? That's my MVP. Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head football coach, got him to a couple of playoff wins this year in Nashville, Tennessee. He's got the stall. Hey, you kids out there in Nashville, you're hanging around. You can play for anybody. See that little emblem right there? That's the next New England Patriots in Nashville, Tennessee. Trent, good
Let's
seeing you.
Let's go.